This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Is it really Tuesday, the 29th of November? Boy, time is passing by so quickly. Anyhow, for those of us that are very, very busy, anyhow, tonight we have our guardian on the board is Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And it's just you and me tonight, Craig, just the two of us.
And all your articles.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. But anyhow, I'm going to start out by, I was very, very unhappy with when that Senate voted today to disrespect to soil, the first divine institution that God gave us, marriage and the family. When that Senate found it to themselves that they felt that they had the right to soil what God has given us, when the Apostle Paul said the marriage bed is undefiled, and they said, we really don't care, we're here, God's not here, and so we're going to defile that, we're going to change that. There's money, there's politically correctness there, and so maybe we can get the votes of those that are, well, you know, the people that are ungodly, those that hate God, we'll get their support. So I'm going to pray a prayer because I'm very upset with them, and you prissy preachers that get upset when we pray imprecatory prayers, get ready to have your bloomers all in a bunch, you little fellas, because Mino Pastoni is going to do it again. And so I'm going to ask you folks out there to pray with me. It's not right what they did. Basically what they did is they shook a rebellious fist in the face of God and said, we don't care, God, what you think. You see us? We're senators. You see us? We live in nice homes. We drive nice cars. Do you see who we are? And yes, we will defile your laws because we can do it here. Well, God, I'm just going to ask, and I'm going to ask the people out there to pray with me. I'm going to ask all across this country, the decent people, if you're one of the decent people who has a respect for God Almighty, has a respect for his divine institutions, I'm asking you to join with me as we pray that God will bring these bloody people, these wicked people that have shamed. I'm so ashamed of them. I'm so ashamed of the 61. I am so ashamed of those 61 senators that shook that rebellious fist in your face, God, and said, we don't care what God don't allow. But I thank you, Lord, for the 32 that had the courage, the 32 that had the decency, the 32 that had the honor and the integrity to say, you know what, it's God gave us that divine institution. God gave it to us. He gave us the definition. We're going to respect what God says. So I'm asking you folks out there to pray with me. I'm asking, see, if enough of you pray out there, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. So if enough of you pray with me, then we will hear from God. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold up those 32 senators that did the right thing and ask that you bless them, Lord. And I ask that they are reelected in the next election, those that do the right thing, Father God. Lord, for the 61 that shook the rebellious fist in your face, Lord God, I just would pray, Father, Lord, that none of them would be reelected. No, not one of them. And Lord God, too, I would pray, Lord, that you would make it very clear. You know that out there someplace, Lord, we know that you have kept a remnant. You've kept a remnant of pastors, of real men of God, real men of God, those that are bold as lions because you raised them up. Those that are preaching the gospel. I'm not talking about the sissy prissy preachers or the name it and claim it. I'm talking about the real men of God that stand up and they say, here I am, Lord. Choose me, send me. I pray, Father God, Lord, that you would raise up real men of God, Lord, and they would out these 61 senators. Lord, they would out them for what they did. They would let them know very clearly that what they have done is they have transgressed your dominion, Lord. You made it very, very clear when you gave us the definition of marriage. It was between one man, one woman for one lifetime, and you. And they said, we will take what God has made good and what God has made honorable and make clean, that we will soil it with our pride and our indecency. So I pray, Father God, Lord, for those 61 senators. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up pastors, real pastors, real pastors, that would also pray the same prayer and that they would, Father God, Lord, that they would out those 61 senators and tell them they need to repent. They need to repent. For what they have done is they have defiled your divine institution. And they have mocked God. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer with me out there. And I'm going to get into the message. Now, I'm going to repeat what I did last night because a number of people wanted to hear it over again. The title of the message was, Our Goal is to Destroy and Eliminate You. Can we count on your continued support? And this message is, as we start out, just picture a conversation between two of the enemy, two communists, two Democrats out there that are saying, just talking about, you know, where there are successes and failures along the way. And about the apathy, the ignorance, people in this country, they know things are not good. They know things are bad. But the vast majority are so biblically illiterate. They are so biblically illiterate. And I'm amazed when I talk to people out there in the public who have got hardly any idea at all about what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. And they know things are really wrong, but they don't know why. Well, just picture this conversation. I'm going to pick it up where we left off. And again, it's about ignorance and apathy. And it's the cause for the way things are today. And so, here we go. There's an ongoing outspoken request by the enemies of God, of church, the family, the country, and of freedom. The request is that we, the people of the United States of America, remain lethargic and inactive and uninvolved concerning our destruction and ultimate elimination. We, those of us that you on the right call the woke elite, we let you know what we were going to do to you and your families. Don't you remember? Don't you remember when Nikita Khrushchev, during a press conference around 1960, took off his shoe and he beat the top of the podium and he said, that we will defeat you from within without firing a shot. We will indoctrinate your youth. We will give you dose after dose after dose of socialism until one day you will awaken to realize that you have become communist. We were a bit concerned, though, that you might heed the warnings of some of those on the right. They were sounding the alarm, telling you that we were indoctrinating your children into cultural Marxism, that they were telling you to call your congressmen and senators, urging them to put a stop to us. They even told you that you should run for school board and take back your public schools and kick us out. Luckily for us, you couldn't be bothered by calling your congressmen and getting involved with your child's education. After all, you had the American dream to live. We knew that we were winning when Madeleine Murray O'Hare had your God expelled from the public schools. We feared that there might be an uprising among the clergy, but to our relief, with but a few exceptions, the clergy turned out to be paper tigers with only a pathetic whimper of protest. It was then that we realized that so few of the clergy were for real. They feared government and the loss of their tax-exempt status more than they feared God. They, with a very few exceptions, would rather tuck and run instead of risking the loss of their precious 501c3. We, however, were still concerned. We were still concerned with that small percentage of clergy that were as dedicated to Christ as we were to Marx. Their boldness and their courage were proof of their non-compromised faith. How well they understood and agreed with the message preached by that founder of Oberlin College in 1873, Charles Finney, in a sermon titled The Decay of Conscience. In that sermon, Finney said, "If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, and they are, well, the pulpit is responsible for it." I'm going to turn now to 1 Peter chapter 4. And here is where we left off last night, and pick it up where we left off. Starting in verse 14. "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you." Now, here, this is what the Lord Jesus, Peter is simply bringing back, repeating what the Lord Jesus had told him back in Matthew, had said to him back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. "For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer." You know, people, when he's talking about murderers, those that kill babies, those that kill babies, those that are pro-abortion, those that steal your property, those that, well, basically, the entire platform of the Democratic Communist Party, and with those 61 senators voted for. The Bible says, by the fruits you know, well, by their fruits, They said to me, we're evil people. As a busybody in other man's matters, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, well, you know what? The time has come. And folks, I can tell you, it begins in the house of God. And in that house, it begins in the pulpit. And there is no place, no place, no place where our Lord has been more dishonored, and more disobeyed than from the pulpits. For those that were supposed to have a higher standard, those that were supposed to show courage and honor and integrity, those that had the duty, to glorify God and call out the wicked, they failed. They turned, maybe some of them preached a little message against the child killing. We have 150 million dead babies, but some of them looked real good every Sunday morning. They put on a nice suit and their shoes are shined and they get in that pulpit and they wax elegant. And many of them, they'll preach against that sin of abortion, but they won't go out to the bloody abortion mills. They won't go out there where it was taking place. They wouldn't march in a protest. They wouldn't go in the marches. They wouldn't go and look up their senators and congressmen. They just did not have that kind of integrity. And so, but they could criticize those of us that did. Yes, they could. And I remember one of those such prissy preachers one day saying, he was on there, you'll never catch me going out in front of an abortion mill and protesting as long as it's legal. I'll obey the government. And I told him, I says, I'll never catch you doing anything that takes any courage, any honor. And we had quite a conversation. And he talked about how, well, you go out there and you get arrested. Yeah. And I'd asked him, have you ever heard about the prison epistles? He said, of course I have. I said, why were they called the prison epistles? He said, well, they were from prison. I said, where the apostles, was Jesus? And the apostles, were they arrested and thrown in prison for obeying the government like you say you have to do, even when it's corrupt? Or were they there for obeying God? And this man actually said, you've got a point. I didn't think about that. I may have to change my position. Where in the world was his head at? Going back to the scripture, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Like those 61 senators. Like those 61 senators that just shook that rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. They better hope they don't come in contact with me, folks. If they do, I'm going to preach from heaven sweet and hell hot. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and that should send a chill down the spine of so many people. Do you hear that? Listen. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Called the white throne judgment. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him as well, and well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. See, we must never, not ever, be afraid to be persecuted for the Lord's sake, folks. And at the same time, we got to remember that we don't take up and we don't use and behave like those in the world. That we're better than that. We know that we must, that most today of what is called the church today is not willing to be even inconvenienced. I mean, listen, inconvenienced. I mean, I'm talking about the vast majority of those that call themselves the church today. They're not even really willing to be inconvenienced for the name of Christ, much less suffer reproach. Think about that. Think about all the ones you know out there. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, where it comes to standing, taking a strong stand and saying, look, when they ridicule God and when they laugh and they mock and these senators do what they did and these congressmen, how many of them just remain silent? Abe Lincoln said for men to remain silent when they should speak out, and boy, that's the time to speak out, makes cowards of men and destroys nations. The opposition would say, we knew that if we were ever to make our fortune by killing children in the womb, we would need a word salad to make the murder of innocent babies palatable to the masses. So we came up with the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion. Oh, at first we weren't sure if we could get the mainstream media to go with it. We were amazed, just amazed, to find out just how eager they were to promote the killing of innocent children and promote it as a woman's constitutional right. And they called that lie, the NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PMSNBC, and Fox News called that lie on their narrative. I'm going to go over to Psalm now, Psalm chapter 9. And in Psalm chapter 9, I want to read just two verses. Verse 16 and 17. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget their God. All nations like America that have forgotten their God. Well, there's some of us that hasn't. Remember, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous men. And God has kept a remnant of real true Christians in this country. The violent, wicked will end in violence. The liars will become victims of deceit and lies of others. Apathy and ignorance has caused America, unfortunately, to forget her God. And we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. In the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and might. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king.
no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
Alrighty, the Holy One of Israel. And folks, I'm going to make a very quick announcement. I want to remind you that this coming Sunday, we are going to be at the Chester Christian Center. That's the Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road and Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio, for you folks in Northeast Ohio. Now, this is it's a very, very important fundraiser. It's one of our Geauga County Right to Life's largest fundraiser. We're asking you to come out and help us. There's no charge. We take up an offering. The money goes to saving babies. That's what we do. We save unborn babies because God's Word, the Bible, demands that we rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. We believe the Word of God. We really do. But boy, we hate ignorance and apathy. And it won't take a lot to come out and join us because there are such blessings in this. We have... They put on a concert, such a concert every year. And this year you're going to have A.J. Feodor, the man with a golden harmonica. He's called the extraordinaire. We're going to have that fellow that can do all kinds of things with a guitar, Jeff Heise. And, of course, the Chester Christian Center Music Ministry. They're just fantastic. And then you're going to have the Christmas carolers, and that's where some of us take part in that, too. It's the Christmas carolers. So it's a time of a blessing. It's really a blessing. That's this Sunday, and that starts at 7 p.m. So come on out and join us and help us raise the money. Help us to save babies. You know, God's watching all of this. Some of you out there have never done anything in the pro-life movement, never done anything. Just think about this. Now, I want you to all think about this. Someday, when you're standing before the Almighty, and he says, what were you doing when they were killing my babies? What were you doing to stop it? What were you doing to save those babies? The only acceptable answer is everything I could to stop it. Everything I could do. And the least you could do is come out and join us and help us save some babies. And here's something else you can do. You can help us save the children from the wicked, from the evil, from those that I've told you time and time again. And remember, years ago, remember we told you that there was things that we could, that you weren't ready to hear. You wouldn't believe us. And that was how the Democratic Communist Party was flush from top to bottom with pedophilia. They're flush with pedophilia. And you can throw in those rhinos in there too. But folks, again, we're going to hear a clip from Laura Logan. Laura Logan is going to be, and she is with Steve Bannon. And listen carefully to the clip, and then we'll talk about it. Take her away, courageous.
I was going to go to Brazil and Beijing now, but I got to drill down on something you just said, because this deals with this whole issue of trafficking, and they dismiss people about that and say crazy. This fashion house, this is so disturbing, and what's come out since then has been so disturbing. This is a multi-billion dollar, really a powerhouse as far as brands go. And now they're disavowing, they didn't know anything about it. But as they look into other people who have had creative positions there,
yeah,
it gets darker and darker and more twisted.
Yeah.
connect that to everything that's going on in trafficking, fentanyl, and everything, because I think that this may be the event that opens the eyes to a lot of people that's saying, hey, people have been demonized and being, you know, talked about as being crazy. Maybe they're not quite so crazy. Lara Logan.
It's so interesting that you put it that way, Steve. You're absolutely right about that. I've been watching the Balenciaga scandal grow and grow and grow. And, you know, I gotta tell you, I'm really proud of my 13-year-old son because he was a huge Balenciaga fan. This was his dream. I actually once bought him a wallet with Balenciaga on it. And this was the gift of his entire life, right? And he is the first person to say to me, Mom, I want nothing to do with this. It's over, right? I want nothing more to do with Balenciaga. Don't worry. Scratch it off the Christmas list. Scratch it off my birthday list because this is one of the worst things I have ever seen. And I read him today a poem, if you can call it that, that was on the site of the main set designer at Balenciaga. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, Mom, the photographs are disturbing, but I got to tell you the words. And I would urge anybody, if you are interested in this and understanding what it's all about, is Balenciaga, of course, had these photographs with children with teddy bears and bondage and so on. And they thought they could get away with it by just, you know, quickly removing those pictures from their website. But it's grown and more and more and more is coming out. And why this is so significant is that I know, having worked in the industry, how many people are involved in making a photograph like that happen. They tried to blame the photographers, which is just a joke, right? As if the photographer has any real say in any of this. No, it comes back to the stylist. It comes back to those in charge of the brand, to the front office, to the money people, to the cyber people, to the marketing people, to the booking agencies, people booking the kids and paying for them to come in, to the parents who allow their kids to be part of this, to all of the set designers and all the... I mean, when you start to look, Steve, at the infrastructure that is around a single advertising campaign at any of these brands, make no mistake that we are talking about dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people who are directly involved. And this is so important because it's not just Balenciaga. That stylist turns out to be working with Adidas as well. The same brand, by the way, that canceled Kanye West. I love that. We're going to cancel Ye. You know, but we're totally fine with Satanism and pedophilia and all of this. And you got, you know, I really urge people to have a look at the designer, the set designer for Balenciaga, because when you start to see what she's pushing and you start to see that the tentacles reach out and they reach into the Ukraine with Maria Abramovich and people like that. And less, oh my goodness, this is the unmentionable, right? Let's not mention the fact that this extends all the way to, let's see, what does the FBI have on their website as symbols of pedophilia? Well, that pizza is a term, and cheese pizza is a term that's frequently used as a reference by pedophiles. It's used by the FBI in cases that they have, and it is named, has been named on the FBI's website. You know, if you can't find it online, look in the Wayback Machine, or you go to one of the sites that has found it. And so what you realize is that these terms are prolific, and they are used by pedophiles themselves, and they're used all across the instant, you know, social media. And this is why Elon Musk and what he's doing at Twitter right now is worth consideration. I don't know about Elon Musk. People say this, they say that. I can't prove anything. But what I know is that I left Twitter because I know that Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all of these social media platforms that are lording over everybody and censoring everyday Americans, if you want to question the results of an election, but it's totally fine to push pedophilia and to have enormous campaigns and algorithms that are written to make people like Shane Dawson, right? Shane Dawson is another one who was pushing pedophilia. He had 20-something million followers on YouTube. Let me tell you, you don't get 20 million followers organically on YouTube. That's because the brand and the company and the front office and all these people, they are fully behind the messages that you're pushing. So, and what you see is there are survivors of child trafficking that are on these platforms that have been trying to get them to do something about it forever. So it's really significant that Elon Musk comes in, and what does he do? He straight away cleans out the account of three of the biggest trafficking handles on Twitter. Oh, wow. So they actually knew who these people were, and they didn't do anything about it. But wait, let me remember. Oh, yeah, they'll take Donald Trump. They'll take Donald Trump, the president of the United States. They'll take him off Twitter. But trafficking kids, that's totally fine. And by the way, if I talk about it, I'm the crazy one. I don't think so. I know the difference between sane and crazy, and those are the crazy people, okay? When you're posting pictures of yourself, you know, and you've got a woman lying there on a satanic pentagram, or you've got a woman there with her guts hanging out, or you're promoting your favorite band is about cannibalism, they're your favorite musicians, and you're pushing this stuff out, I think you're the crazy person. And I think that if people aren't so afraid of how they're portrayed and aren't so afraid of the consequences, we can all admit that Democrats and Republicans agree on this, right? People from every side of the aisle agree that, you know, if there's any kind of satanic rituals going on that involve the sacrifices of children, it's not okay. And it doesn't matter who's doing it. I don't care who's doing it. It is not okay. And by the way, trafficking kids is not okay. And why it's so important for people to look at the whole picture is that these things go hand in hand. When you talk about trafficking, you know what? You don't have trafficking without drugs. People do drugs because it makes them do crazy things. They get people to comply because they do drugs. You know, if you go, you talk to any cop that's been involved in busting trafficking rings, they'll tell you that a lot of these victims are addicted to narcotics. How do they control them? They get them addicted to narcotics. And so why is that significant? Well, we just happen to have the most open border in the history of the United States of America. We have people who don't believe in the borders of the United States running these policies, right? They're implementing their open border policy, the policies of the United Nations, the policies of global organizations. And what has it happened to do? Well, they've opened the door for narcotics. And at the same time, the same people are fighting in the courts to have the minimum mandatory sentencing for narcotics reduced or obliterated, just wiped away completely. These are the same people installing their district attorneys all across America who won't prosecute drug crimes, right? And I'm not saying that the only thing you can do for a drug addict is to put them in prison. Nobody wants to see that happen. For goodness sake, I'm a mother, right? I want solutions to these problems. But I understand at the same time that when you have more Americans dying of drug overdoses than at any time in the history of this country, you have the deadliest street drug in the history of the world, all over your streets, coming pouring across the border on a daily basis, and you don't even talk about it? You don't talk about it, and you're basically crushing the law, you're crushing enforcement of the law, and you are pushing the policies that proliferate this, plus you are lying about the mental cost to Americans. We have an epidemic of mental illness, and no one asks where it's coming from or looks at the link between narcotics, illegal narcotics, and mental illness. How do I know? Because I went from homeless camp to homeless camp to homeless camp in San Francisco, and I couldn't find a person I could put on television in good conscience because their brains are eaten away by these pharmaceuticals that are produced in labs now, right? These are not marijuana growing up out of the ground. These are laboratory-produced pharmaceuticals, and where do they come from? Well, this is the part where you start to connect the dots. They come, yes, now today from the Mexican cartels, but is that where they began? No, it's not. They started in China, right? They started because our pharmaceutical companies sold us out to the Chinese so they could make more money, more profits.
Yes.
And they exported their manufacturing capability, which gave the Chinese Communist Party everything that they needed to find the deadliest drugs and then to proliferate that in America. And the Chinese, Steve, the Chinese understand all about drug warfare. Because it goes back to the 1800s when they lost the opium wars to the British and the second opium war to the British and the French.
All right. You know, you think we'll ask her how she really feels. Now, I want to just praise the good Lord for feisty women that are righteous like her. We need more of those. But I do think one of the reasons we have the Lowell Oregons and some of those feisty little women out there today, more of them than in the past, is because, well, there's been a lack of aggression, of real Christian testosterone in the pulpits out there. The male leadership, there's been an effeminization for so much of the pulpits out there today, and that's why we need men of courage. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's been such a dearth of courage, and that's what we got to get back in America. We got to get courage back. And what she's talking about, this Balenciaga, Balenciaga, whatever. They're definitely involved and associated with people like Jeffrey Epstein and Maria Abramovich. For you folks that don't know who she was the, what you call the spirit server or the spirit mixer, a very wicked, satanic woman, I mean, that would mix things like blood and urine, but and she was a very whorish woman, and she was, one of her good friends is believing it was Hillary Clinton, and she was involved with those people, and all of the satanic people, the Epstein's friends, and child sacrifice is evil and wicked as evil and wicked gets. And so here now, Balenciaga, what it's doing now is damage control. You see, it's suing the producer for $25 million over child BDSM-themed ads that they approved. You see, again, what? Look, they're going to have the lamestream media. All they need to do is say, look, our fellow liberal pedophiles, all of you at NBC, ABC, CBS, okay, just we need you to back us up. We know that you will tell any and all lies to promote this ungodliness, and as long as you call it your narrative. So get the echo chamber started, okay? And let's just turn, if you turn the stations at NBC, ABC, CBS, you'll see them all parroting the very same thing. Whatever comes down from George Soros and that from the top of the Communist Party, no matter what the lie is, they will look you in the eye and they will tell you and promote and repeat that lie and call it their narrative. So after being caught inserting subliminal messages, inciting pedophilia and child pornography in their advertisements, the luxury fashion brand Balenciaga blames the producers and sues them for $25 million. On Friday, the luxury brand sued the production company North 6 Incorporated and set designers Nicholas Jardins for using a legal document from a Supreme Court ruling on child porn laws as a prop. Upon information and belief, defendants without Balenciaga's knowledge or authorization. Yeah, I really believe that. I really do, yeah. Including certain documents in the campaign, photographs including an excerpt from a court decision upholding a criminal prohibition against child pornography. The filing states, Balenciaga believes the defendant's inexplicable acts and omissions were malevolent or, at the very least, extraordinarily reckless. As a result, defendants of misconduct, members of the public, including the news media, have falsely and horrifically associated Balenciaga with the repulsive and deeply disturbing subject of court decision. Defendants are liable to Balenciaga for all harm resulting from the false association. It goes on. Well, we'll see how that comes out. And here, the CEO of Balenciaga parent company, he owns the auction site that sells child sex mannequins with genitalia for faces. Now, folks, I'm looking at this here, and what this is, the CEO of Balenciaga's parent company, Kering, it's K-E-R-I-N-G, also owns an auction website that sells grotesque art depicting naked children with mutilated bodies and sex organs for faces. Group Artemis, the holding company of billionaire Kering CEO Francis Henry Pinault, husband of actress Salem Hayek, owns Christie's Auction House. The Christie's website features a series of art pieces by brothers Jake and Dennis Chapman, including mannequins of children. Well, I can't even go on and say this, but folks, I'm looking at these pictures, and here, it's an unbelievable unbelievable what they've done. They made these mannequins. They look like little children, life-size little children. And they depict very disturbing content. It's with the faces of these children, the nose resembling male sex organs, and the mouth resembling a female sex organ. And these little children, I mean, it's unbelievable, but you got people out there. And again, like I told you, and then there's some other things that are even much more grotesque. Much more grotesque. It's just really something. This is where, you know, folks, people have got to learn to stand up. You've got to learn to stand and fight. It's just unbelievable what's happened today. I can't even tell you the names of some of these that they've called here. Just really degenerate. I gotta get rid of that. That article feels dirty even to hold. Okay. And speaking of that, we're going on just one more time since we're on this thing with this Balenciaga here. Balenciaga executive ousted as a satanic pedophile media blackout. Now, you're not going to hear this at NBC, ABC, or CBS, obviously. But one of Balenciaga's top executives has been ousted as prolific pedophile who openly worships Satan, and they're showing pictures of her. She is grotesque here with what she's doing. And the social media Balenciaga senior stylist Lata Vokova reveals a disturbing predilection for sadistic imagery involving child rape, witchcraft, and Satanism. She has been one of the main stylists in Balenciaga since 2014. She has a relationship with pedophiles. So we can't only boycott Balenciaga, but also the people behind it. And she has worked with Vogue, Adidas, Balenciaga, Chatel Jean, Paul Gottner, amongst others. And I'm just going to let this end up. It's a big, big article here, but the thing of it is what we're going to do one of these days, and I think maybe in the near future, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of documents. And I think at Doers of the Word, over these years, we have, and now and then people will write, can you send me this, can you send me that? We don't have the staff to do that. We can just barely keep up with all the requests we get. We get the letters, we get the emails we get. I mean, we can just barely, and that's when we're healthy. And when we have two or three people out, then we really can't keep up with it. And so it's hard to find people that want to work today. I praise the good Lord for the ones that have been showing up, volunteers. But one of these days, I'm going to just do like we did it once before. I'm going to announce it ahead of time, and then you folks, I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to put the documents out, thousands, and open them up to the public and let the public come and take them. And because, you know, they're not doing any good being in storage. People should know about all of this. And so one of the strange things that's happened here, yesterday was five of Biden's Secret Service vehicles burst into flames after he left for vacation. Now, this is strange. Tell me what this is all about, folks. Less than a day after the U.S. Secret Service returned to Hertz, five expensive vehicle agents had used... What are they using Hertz's cars for? Why are Secret Service agents... That doesn't make sense. To haul Joe Biden and his family entourage around a ritzy Massachusetts resort area on Thanksgiving Day, they burned. The stunning sequence of events was reported by Fox News. I was watching those things. It was the front end. It was in the motor area, the engine area, where all of these cars caught on fire. Biden and family had spent many vacations so far in luxury homes, but this retreat was in Nantucket, the ritzy Massachusetts island. The vehicle, a Ford Explorer, an Infiniti QX80, a Ford Expedition, a Chevy Suburban, and a Jeep Gladiator, had been parked after the Secret Service use at the Nantucket Airport. The blaze reportedly erupted only 40 feet away from the airport's jet fuel tanks. The cause of the fire reportedly was unknown. This is very, very strange, folks. It's very strange. Alrighty. A woke pastor says the Spirit of God will arrest people to vote for Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock. Now, folks, this is a pastor, but not a pastor of God, not a minister of God. The pastor, William Murphy of Atlanta, the Dream Center, invited Raphael Warnock to the Dream Center. Thankful success. Now, let me tell you, the Bible says, by the fruits they bear, these people are pro-abortion or pro-homosexuality. If it's a sin, if God's word, the Bible, calls it a sin, William Murphy, so-called Pastor William Murphy, if God's word, the Bible, calls it a sin, Warnock and those that vote for him will embrace it. And listen, if you could invent a brand new sin tonight, tomorrow they'd have it in their mission statement. The entire service seemed more like a pep rally to get churchgoers to vote for Raphael Warnock in the upcoming Georgia Senate runoff. I'm going to tell you folks out there in Atlanta and Georgia, if you read the Word of God, you read the Word of God, go to Proverbs chapter 24, go to Proverbs chapter 17. You know what it'll tell you? Those of you that would vote for a wicked man, those of you that would vote for a wicked man, to them it's sin. James 4:17 says, for those that know to do good and do it not, it is sin. And the Bible says that if you vote, you're the person that honors the wicked, the dishonorable. And you do that with your vote. You should be accursed. Let the nations abhor him. Let him be accursed. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. And don't say you don't know it. Don't say you didn't know it. It's right there in the Word of God. You vote for a wicked man, it is a sin. It is a sin for anyone to vote for Warnock. And Pastor William Murphy, you need to repent. You need to repent and get right with the Lord for what you're doing. Alrighty, we're coming up to a break. And by the way, Pastor William Murphy, if you want to contact my office, it's 440-338-1367. It's 440-338-1367. I'd be glad to talk to you. All right. We're coming up to a... I've got to see this. We have a clip on this one here. But I'm going to have to wait because we're coming up to a break. Now, when we come back from the break, folks, we're going to pick it up where we left off last night. We're going to look at what is happening with these servers that are connected with the sheriff's departments and also the Board of Elections, the election fraud, how they're doing it. We're going to pick it up where we left off for you, those of you that listened last night. So get prepared for that. So just go straight into that, Craig. When we come back, go right into that clip. And hang in there in that clip until I give you the command. So we'll be back right after this with a lot more. Don't go away. A whole lot more yet. One whole hour. 3, 2, 1, 1.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org.
Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24. 24.